Please, let's pray together. Oh God, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come before thy holy presence this evening. And Father, we come in the name and on the merit of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh Father, we come knowing that thou art the God of all creation. Thou art the Alpha and the Omega. Thou art the God of infinite majesty and of power. Father, thou art the holy, holy, holy God. Thou art the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we come to praise thy holy name. And as we come, confessing our sins unto thee and our unworthiness to come before thee, Father, it is our prayer that thou will look down upon us in love and in mercy. Thou will pardon and forgive us of our sins afresh, and to draw us closer to yourself. Father, we thank you for this morning, for our gospel ministry. We thank you for our Sunday school and the children who came and the lessons that we have taught them. Oh, Father, we pray for your blessing upon all of them, that as thou hast said that thy word does not go and come back in vain, and those who receive thy word will profit from it and to work powerfully in them. Father, we thank you for such a day. Today is thy day, a day thou hast commanded us to keep us holy, a day thou hast promised to bless us. Our Heavenly Father, come and dwell among us this evening also as we come. Come and take control, prepare our hearts and stir up our minds, that we will be able to understand the way that we are going to study tonight, and that it will be fruitful in our hearts. Father, come and take control. Come and speak through thy servants, for your people are eager to hear you. We thank you, Father, for hearing us, for we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
So let's turn in our hymns to hymn number 178. Hymn number 178. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is your health and salvation, with joy and fear. To God your Savior, draw near, praise him in glad adoration. Hymn number 178.
Thank you.
Bible reading is taken from Psalm 37. Psalm 37, and I begin from verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cut down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own hearts, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke. Into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous sheweth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed on him shall be cut. Though that they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and leadeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land whom the wicked are cut. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. We thank the Lord for his word and we pray that we all get the understanding. Let's turn to hymn number 37, version 2. Hymn number 37, version 2. O Lord, the steps of all thy saints are ordered by thy will. Though they should fall, they rise again. Thy hand supports them still. Hymn number 37, version 2. Bible reading is taken from Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and I begin from verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, through your fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now, at the last, your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, he sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an order of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
We give a sincere and warm welcome to everyone worshiping with us this evening. This is Grace Reformed Baptist Church, Accra. And this is our teaching service. We would suggest that everyone waits for a few moments after the service for personal brief prayer before we leave. Our services and times for the week remain as follows. Sunday morning evangelistic service is held from 10 to 11:30. Sunday school sessions are held from 3 to 4:30 in the afternoon. And Sunday evening teaching services are held from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Our prayer meetings are held on Tuesdays from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And our Bible studies are also held on Wednesdays from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Our pastor, Anthony Bentumenin, is currently in Cape Coast preaching at Grace Reformed Baptist Church, our sister church. The preacher for next Wednesday's Bible study is our pastor. The messages from this church can be found on our website grbcweb.org for listening or downloading. It's now time for our offerings for the Lord's work.
Gracious and merciful Father, we thank you for this, our offerings, which we bring before thee. And we pray that thou receive it, bless it, to be used for thy own kingdom ministry. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that it has pleased thee that we can give of our substance for the progress of thy work. Oh Father, we praise you. We glorify thy name for who you are. You are our provider, you are our God, you are our guiding, you are our protector. In you is our trust, in you is our hope, in you is our all in all. Oh Father, we thank you for all thou hast done for us and continue to do, even as a church and as individuals. Father, we are most grateful for all thy blessings and thy providences and thy kindness. We thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he has done for us and continue to do, how even now after saving us he sits by your right hand side and advocate for us. Oh Father, he has promised that those that thou hast given him, nobody can throw them out of his hands. Oh Father, we thank you for all these promises and the many others that we read in the scriptures. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for all that has enabled us to do, especially our children who came this afternoon and the lessons that we taught them. David's greater son, which refers to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh Father, bless these things in the hearts of these children. Help them to understand it and let them grow in them. Our Heavenly Father, we commit the rest of the week into your hands as we enter into another working week. Father, we commit every member of this church into your hands as even we go into this world. This world which is full of temptations and disappointments and wickedness. But thou will continue to protect us and guide us and direct us in everything we do, in everything we say, every step we take. Father, help us to remember thee and to commit all our cares unto thee. For thou hast said that we should come unto you with our troubles, with the promise that you will never forsake us. So Father, we commit this church into your hands in a special way, our local church in this community. Oh Father, we thank you for how far thou hast brought us, all thou hast enabled us to do and undertake. Oh Father, the logistics, the personnel, the resources, and everything thou hast given us, Father, we thank you and pray that thou will continue to bless us and to guide us and to direct us, that in the end, the purpose for which we came to this community will be achieved. Father, we commit people in the community into your hands. Pray for your guidance and for your protection over them, especially those who have not come to know thee. Oh, Father, draw such ones to come and to be saved. Our Heavenly Father, we commit the rest of our programs for the week into your hands. Our forthcoming prayer meeting on Tuesday, Father, we bring before thee. Our Bible studies on Wednesday, Father, we bring before thee. We pray that thou will bring our pastor safely. Oh, Father, we thank you for his life, for his commitment to thy work, his selfless teaching, his exemplary lifestyle. Oh, Father, continue to bless him. and guide him and protect him, him and his family. Father, intervene in their affairs and let your will be done, especially as he has undertaken to do this work in Accra here. Father, bless him and direct him, and in all things, let thy name be glorified. Our Heavenly Father, so we pray for our other sister churches who are meeting at this time. Pray for all of them. The pastors who are preaching, Father, be with them. Speak through them thy word, which is able to change hearts, that go out powerfully. Father, guide them and protect them and lead them, that whatever they do will bring glory unto thy name and a blessing unto thy people. Commit our other friends in other parts of Ghana into your hands. We pray for those in other parts of Africa. We pray for those in Asia, in UK, especially Dr. Peter Masters and his men. Father, we thank you for this man and how that has used him to spread the doctrines of grace. So Father, continue to bless him even in this old age. Be with him and protect him. We pray for his wife. We thank you for the improvement in his health that we hear. Oh, Father, it is our prayer. Thou art the greatest physician, and thou will heal her completely. Father, bless all their efforts, especially in the books they print, the tracts, and all they do, Father, that in the end they will all bring glory unto thy name. Pray for our friends in America, those in Canada, even those that we do not know. Pray for all of them, that thou will be with them and direct them. Pray for those who are preaching, especially in troubled areas, the missionaries who are being persecuted, some are being slaughtered like sheep, Father, all because of thy word. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for such ones, that thou will comfort them and support them and strengthen them, that in the midst of all these things and the sufferings, thy word will go forth. Oh, gracious and loving Heavenly Father, you know the state of this country, both the spiritual state and otherwise. Father, we bring all before thee. You know the deceptions that are going on, the false teachings where churches have turned out to be entertainment. Oh Father, intervene and let our people know the truth. We pray for those in authority, the president and his men, the ministers, all those in authority. Oh Father, be with them. Let them know that thou hast put them, put the fear of God in them, especially in their decisions and their policies, that the people for whom they are put there will benefit from them. Our Heavenly Father, we know that it is only your gospel that can change hearts. It is only your gospel that can change the state of man. Man has tried so many means, and nothing. Man continues to be bad. But we know that it is only your gospel that can change this hardened heart. So Father, we pray for the progress of the gospel, both here and wherever. Wherever we are, Father, we pray for opportunities to spread thy gospel. The gospel of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ alone. Oh Heavenly Father, do this for thine own sake. Do this for the glory of yourself and a blessing unto thy people. Father, we commit the week into your hands as we begin another working week. Pray for your protection and for your guidance and for your direction. Those who be going to work, those who be going to their schools, Father, we commit everyone into your hands. For we live in a world of uncertainties, of disappointments, of evil and wickedness. So Father, guide us, protect us, lead us, direct our steps, and let everything we do bring glory unto thy name. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for every member of this church. We pray for families, we pray for the youth, we pray for the very, very young. Oh Father, bless everyone. For thou knowest the heart desire of every person here today. Oh Heavenly Father, bless us in all these things and let us know that we can trust in thy promises. Oh Heavenly Father, very soon we are going to open thy word and to study thy word. Oh Father, it is only you who can explain thy word fully to thy people. So it is our prayer that thou will take distractions away and prepare our hearts and minds and speak to us. Speak through thy servant and let thy word go out powerfully. Oh Heavenly Father, come down now and be with us and direct us and let thy will be done. for we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to our third hymn, and to hymn number 682. Hymn number 682. Speak to us, Lord, thyself revealed. Why here over earth we roam? Speak to our hearts and let us feel the kindling of thy love. Hymn number 682. Turning this evening to Philippians chapter 4 and to verse 19. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And my subject for tonight is God's great supply promise. God's great supply promise. Tonight we are looking at one of the grandest and most encouraging promises in the entire Bible. When God says, I will supply you with all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's very, very promising and very encouraging. But first, let's consider the background of this passage. This book of Philippians was written under, obviously, God's inspiration as a letter. Probably this was written when Paul was in prison in Rome. It's more likely, which means that it was written around the AD 61. And here in chapter 4, we see that Paul is thanking the people of Philippi for gifts they have sent to him. If you look at the entire passage, it's a kind of thanksgiving for a gift that he has sent to him recently and in the past. And it is in that context, as God directed him, that he promised them this wonderful promise in the verse 19, which I call God's great supply promise. Paul said, "My God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Jesus." It's a wonderful saying, isn't it? God himself is saying that he will supply you all your needs according to his riches. You see how rich Christ is. This whole creation is his. So if he said he will supply you according to his riches in Christ, then there's nothing that God cannot give you. There's no situation that is beyond God, whether in money, in whatever, God says he will supply you. For us to appreciate this promise, we should have to understand there are some 5 key elements in them that I want us to understand and to unlock them so that we can really understand this promise and benefit from it. First, let's look at who is the giver of the supplies. First, Paul points out to the giver of the supply. He says, "My God shall supply all your need." So, in essence, Paul is saying, "You, my treasured friends, you have been gracious to share," because you see, they have given him some gifts. It means they have been gracious to share what they have with him. "And I want you to know that the Lord is going to supply all your need." You see, Paul's expression here, "My God," indicates of his personal relationship with God. When you say "my God," it means he has a personal relationship with God. And then, so what he's saying is what has been revealed to him by God. So he says that "my God shall supply you." So the giver of the supplies is God, the creator of heaven and earth. The one who owes everything is the one who is promising that he will supply you with all your need. So Paul is making the point that regardless of the avenue by which all good things come to us, whatever their nature, ultimately they come from the hand of God. Even if a friend does good to you, every good thing comes from God. According to James chapter 1 verse 17, so every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So if you Paul here, even though the people of Philippi gave him gifts, he supported him, but he knows that it's God who has made them to support him. And God, like I said, has a personal, we all know the history of Paul. So he's saying that, "My God, because of what you have done for me, because you did it because of my relationship with God, and I'm promising you that God will supply you all your needs." So you see, God uses human instrumentality. God does not come to us that directly. He uses men and sometimes some situations to come to our aid. And we have to be very grateful to those that God uses to bless us. And we should express our gratitude to them. Although the ultimate glory goes to God, but God uses people to do us good. So when people do us good, we should express it. We should be gratitude to the people who did that to us, and ultimately to God. And we should also be available for God to use to bless other people. In the same way as these people that did that for Paul, and Paul is giving this promise, we should be also be available. We should give ourselves for people, for us to be a blessing unto other people. Because it is the same God who uses human beings to help other people. Before I go on, I'll tell you a story that I read as I was preparing this lesson, and I hope we all take a cue from them. An elderly woman was praying in his room, and the prayer was, "Oh Lord, I need money desperately. I need $100. Desperately, I need it urgently. Please send me $100. And the prayer became very intense and loud. "Lord, I'm pleading with you. Please send me that $100. But he was praying in his room and his window was somehow open. So a man was passing by and heard her. And the man was deeply moved by the prayer that the woman was praying. So he stopped by the side of the woman and then took out his purse. And when he looked into the purse, he had only $50. But he was determined to give it to the woman. So he gave it to the woman. He knocked at the door. And when he answered, he said, "Madam, say I'm a Christian member from Grace Reformed Baptist Church at Ekomo. And God told me to give you this money." Then the woman thanked him. And the man went his way. And then the woman went back to his knees again and he prayed. He said, "Lord, thank you for answering my prayer. But look at what he said. But next time, please, don't send it by a Baptist." Because he kept half of the money. You see, because he asked for $100, and because the man had only $50 and gave it to her, she thinks that God gave the man $100, and then he gave her $50. But you see, the lesson we learn from this is that sometimes when we pray to God, maybe even what you pray for, you don't need it. Because God knows exactly what you need. Maybe what the woman needed, what according to God, what the woman needed was the $50. And that is how he touched the man's heart to give it to the woman. But the woman, so because she has asked for $100, it must be that $100. And that's how people pray now. When people are praying, they pray as if they can command God to give them. Because they think they need it, it means God should give it to them. No, we don't pray like that. You pray to God and you leave it with God. Because God knows what you need. Maybe what you are asking for may not be what you need. So sometimes when we pray to God, it's either take it or wait or no. And we should be grateful whatever God gives us. Because the woman needed $100 and actually he had 50. It means God knows that that is the 50 that he needs. It is the 50 that he needs. And we have a similar example when the manna was falling in the wilderness. They were being supplied on daily basis. What you need for the day, you pick it. It's only the before Sabbath day that you can pick too. So God is telling us we should come to him daily with our needs. You need this now, he gives it to you. So this is the lesson we learn from when we come to God in prayer. We know that God can give you anything. The whole world is his. But he gives you in accordance with what you need, in accordance with his will, because he knows you. Sometimes when you get so much money, the money will not dictate to you what you should do with the money. So God knows what we should know. Now we should also come to the recipients of the supplies. We have learned who is the supplier. We know it's God. Now who are the recipients? That promise that God has given here. Who are the people that the promise is for? Who are the recipients? He said, "My God shall supply all your need." According to the letter that we read, there are two things which are true of the people of Philippi, according to what Paul was saying. And for you to also apply this to yourself, you must also meet that criteria, which I'm coming to explain, the criteria of the people of Philippi. First of all, to whom was Paul writing to? The people of Philippi. And according to Paul's letter, the people were saved. They were all saved. Look at how he addressed them. "Therefore, my brethren, deeply beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dear beloved. I beseech that I send all those names." And then, you remember he called them saints. He called them saints. And a saint is every believer. Everybody who has come to believe and his sins have been forgiven him is a saint. A saint is not somebody who like keeps himself like the Roman Catholics do. A saint is every believer. And Paul called them saints. So it means they were saved. Which means to qualify for this promise, you must be saved. You can't just say on your own, do what you like, and say because God has said this, God will supply you with your needs. You must be saved. That's where it starts from. Because Paul addressed them to the saints in Christ, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. Like I said, people sometimes mistake saints to be people who are like the oldest and most mature. No, every Christian is a saint. We have only two people, isn't it, in this world, either a believer or a non-believer. Either you are a saint or you are not a saint. We have only two. Every believer is a saint. Every unbeliever is not a saint. So you are either a saint or you are not. But mark it, not only were they saved, they were also givers. You see, because of what they have done for Paul, they have given him gifts, they have supported him. And that's why Paul could say this to them. So apart from them being saved, they were also givers. They made a point to share what they had with Paul. And that being true, we also have to be like that. Every Christian must be a giver. You have to also help your other fellow Christians, especially when they are in serious need. You know, in the past, people have done that and entertained angels whom they didn't know. So it's a lesson for us that as every Christian, you must also be a giver. God blesses the unselfish Christian, those who are not selfish. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, especially those who have also come to believe like you. You have to be good to them. And in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 27 it says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do so. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. When your friend needs it, don't tell him, go and come. When you know you can, when you check your means, you know you can help your fellow brother, you have to help him. In Acts chapter 20 verse 35, it says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So this is another lesson that we learn from this account, that as Christians, you also must be givers, must be able to support other people, especially those who are in the faith. I'm not saying because of that, don't support anybody outside. If anybody needs a genuine help, you can help. The Good Samaritan is a typical example. Now, the third point is the completeness of the supply. How complete the supply is. It would have been great if Paul had said, my God will supply the majority of your needs, or your major needs. But look what he said. He said, my God shall supply all your need. All your need. It's a very remarkable statement. All your need. And some people find it very difficult to believe, because in their view, like I said, the woman, for instance, might think that she asked for $100 and had 50. So she wouldn't agree with me if I say God said he'll supply you with all your needs. But in reality, all her needs was the $50. So when he said he'll supply you with all your needs, God knows all your needs and he will supply them to you. Those who argue like that, they fail to realize that God knows everything. God knows you from your beginning to the end. So sometimes when you think you are right before God, you may be wrong. When you think you need this before God, that is not what we need. And also, we should know that God does not, here in Philippians 4 verse 19, or in any part of the Bible, but God has never said that Christians will be exempted from life's hard times. God has never said that Christians should be exempted from hard times. However, he promised is that in the midst of those adversities, including such things as diseases and whatever, he will supply what we need in order to get through those experiences. Sometimes you may be sick and all you want is for God to heal you. You don't want to hear anything. All you want is for God to heal you, because you are suffering. But it is God who will determine whether he has to heal you or not. Because God can decide not to heal you. The sickness may be for a purpose, to teach you a lesson. Sometimes God puts us down so that we can read the scriptures. Sometimes God puts us in a place that we have nothing to do than to read the Bible. So God does not promise to do everything for you, but he knows what you need, and he knows the most important things. Sometimes you don't have money. He won't give you the money, but he'll give you the strength and the encouragement to go through until money comes. Sometimes you are sick. He will heal you. He will give you the encouragement to go through the sickness until he comes to heal you. We know of Stephen, who was also a deacon, when he was told by a mob who hated him. Sometimes you don't understand why God permitted that to happen. Because God can shield them. God can shield you. God can protect you. He has done it so many times for so many people. Now why did he allow Stephen to be stoned to death? And sometimes when you look at such tragedies, you may think that God cannot help you in all your ways. But you will see that God gave Stephen the inner strength to go through the suffering and to die. God gave it to him. Because whilst he was going through this horrendous ordeal, listen to what he said in Acts chapter 7 verse 59. He said, "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, lay not this thing to their charge.'" That's what Stephen was saying. If it was between me and you, you want them to be cursed. But he was telling God that, "Lay not this thing to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. You see, in other ways, he died. You see, so God gave him the inner strength. You may see him being beaten or stoned and everything, but God gave him the strength to bear it because he had to die. And that is how it is. It is not all situations that God will take you from, but he will be with you in the problem. We saw it when our friends were thrown into the fire. They were three. They became four. You see them as being in the fire, but the fire was not burning them. Christ came to be with them. That is how it is. And Stephen went down and he died. And he died with this forgiving attitude in his heart. For he cried to God to forgive him. And that is how we should also take it. Even if somebody is doing something bad to you, you should know. Sometimes I always say that, God, you know everything. Even if I'm suffering, I know that you know. And you can take me out. So if you say I should suffer, then I will suffer. And I know you will be with me. And I can go through the suffering. And that's how every Christian must think. Because God has promised that he will do this. So if for some reason he has left you to go through a problem, it means you need to go through that problem. When you come out, you'll be like gold that has gone through fire. You'll be strong as ever. God does all those things so that we know who he is. And then we also strengthen. So the bottom line is that God has promised to supply everything that we wish for, but he has not promised to supply everything which he in his wisdom knows that we actually need. And in heaven we will see how it all works. For here we will not understand everything, but when we go to heaven we will see his greater good, and that everything that he made us go through was for our good and for his glory. Otherwise, why should he allow Christ to come and die? Christ was God. Can't he summon the whole experience to himself without coming down from heaven to go through all the troubles and die? He could have done that. But he came so that he would die. We see it, that he died for us. In the same way, when we get to heaven, we understand. Sometimes even on earth here, you go through a problem, at that time you'll be doubting God. But when you come out, sometimes you look back and you say to yourself, "Now I thank God for letting me go through that problem." And that is how it is. You understand it by and by. And the fourth thing that we are going to look at is the storehouse of the supplies. Where are the supplies coming from? Now let's notice again what Paul said. said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." All of us know that supply always, sometimes it gets finished. Sometimes you get a supply after a point, they all dry up. But this promise from God is backed by God's resources, which never gets exhausted. It's coming from God. It's like a fountain, always flowing. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 speaks of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And this one, you say unsearchable, it means it past tracing out. It can never be traced out. It is past tracing out. In other words, there's no end to them. The supply of Christ, the supply of God, which is in the riches of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it never ends. It's always going. So God's resources are unlimited. Psalm 21, 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Everything is the Lord's. His things never get short. His spiritual resources are unlimited. Listen to the Lamentations in 3, verse 21 to 23. It says, "This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not, never fail. They are new every morning." What a wonderful promise. Last time, Pastor was saying that it is better to receive your things fresh every day, isn't it? Than to pile them up and maybe they become old. But fresh every morning, supply, it will never end. So he supplies you on a daily basis. Every morning, they will supply you. So, sometimes when you feel that you are done, that there's nothing, you see God the next morning giving you the supply. I hope many of you have been through that. When sometimes, when you are going to bed, you don't even know where the next meal will be coming from. Before you realize, God has made provision. And it is true, if anybody wants to test God in sincerity, you see. We will learn of the widow that God sent Isaiah and Elijah to. See, when he was about to have her last meal, that was when Elijah came. And when he came, how did the woman know that God sent him? And yet, she believed and gave all her food, the food that he was going to eat and die. He gave it to Elijah. And what happened? She had abundance of supply, never ending, forever and ever. That is how it is. When you have got to a point that you think, "This is my last point, I have no hope anywhere," that is where God steps in. It's only for you to believe and to trust in him. Know who he is. He is the God who created this heaven and earth. There's no situation that is beyond him. Everything comes from him. So you can trust him by all his promises. And it is not that only that it is true, maybe for now, and it is food forever and ever. You can count on it. It's always food. It will never, 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 never end. And our fifth statement is the channel of the supplies. How does the supply come? How do we get our supply from abroad? We get our supplies from ships, isn't it? From the aircraft and so on. And they come to us. So now, what did Paul say? He said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to the rich, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, our great God, we know he is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he tells us that our supply will come to us by the Son. Jesus said in John 14, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto me but by my name." So he is the only way to heaven, and he's only also the only way to experience the highest and best in this present life. In this world, you can never get anything from God without passing Christ, passing through Christ. Or to put it in another way, Jesus, even though he came with the primary purpose of coming to save us, but also he's our supplier, he's our savior and our supplier. He doesn't just deliver those things automatically, but people must meet his conditions. Like I said, you can't apply this to yourself. You must be in the criteria. You must meet the criteria. So what are those conditions? We can't talk about all of them, but I'll just say one or two. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, a very popular saying, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." So you have to ask. You have to ask God. You have to ask him in prayer what you want God to do for you. You have to ask him, and he will give you in accordance with his word. James chapter 2 from verse 23, he says, "Ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss." You ask for something different, that ye may consume it upon your lust. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." So if you are a righteous man, and I mean a righteous man is somebody who has been born in Christ, somebody whose sins have been forgiven him, and now he has become a child of God, your prayer is as powerful as the prayer of Elijah. The same way as Elijah prayed and it did not rain, and then he prayed and it rained, you can also pray to God for whatever you need, and God will give you, provided you ask in according to his terms. So for you to receive God's supply by Christ Jesus, you must ask fervently, and you must be righteous. In Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Where sometimes our friends will say, "All things shall be added unto you," as if everything that you think of. No. Before he said this in the verse 32, he had mentioned the things that we need in life. Our shelter, our clothing, our food, those are the basic things. But before he gives you, seek his kingdom first. Why? If you don't seek his kingdom first, and even God gives you in abundance, you can't use it wisely. You use it as James said, you don't receive because you ask amiss. You have to be in your right frame of mind. You have to be a saved person, and then God will give you. So this Matthew 6:33, it means that two things. We must have repented of our sins by faith and surrendered our life to Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. And then we must make it a point that every day we have to reaffirm the Lordship of our Lord in our lives. We should always see him as our Lord, our supplier. He didn't only come to save us from our sins, but he has come to also supply us with our needs. But you must believe in him, you must trust him that he will do it for you. I'm not talking about perfection. I know we will never be perfect in this world until the last day. But the point is that if we pray effectively, we will be saved as believers, and then we will also be supplied with our needs by our King, who is King in our lives, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How are you committed to him? Are you trusting him in all your ways? Are you asking him for what you need? Yes, he will give you. Prayer asking, there's a book called Prayer Asking and Receiving. We have one in our shop. It's a very nice book to read. And in that book, when I read that book, there's another story that I want to share with you as we come to the end of our study tonight. There was a man called Tom. And after the war, there was another man called Sam who was serving him. So after the war, Sam wanted to go to his hometown. But Tom said, "If you stay with me, I'll take care of you. I will see that you are cared of. And even when I'm gone, I will make sure that you have something to live on." And so he agreed to stay with him. And eventually Tom died. So when Tom died, Sam started to do all jobs to earn a living. Just something small to keep him going, because by then he had also become old and he was suffering from rheumatism, and so he couldn't work hard, but just something small to keep him going. In fact, he was living as a poor man. And then one day an old friend and said to him, "Sam, you don't have to live this way." He went on to explain that Tom had deposited some money in the bank in your name. So you can go down to the bank and get that money to buy all what you need. First, he didn't believe, but finally, because there was nothing he could do, he was able to persuade him, and then he went to the bank. So he went to the bank and he asked the teller whether it was true that Tom had left some money in the bank for him. So the teller asked his name, and he checked the records, and told Sam that it was true. He had been left with $5,000, which was his for taking. It's there, he can take it. So because Sam had lived in poverty, or he didn't even know how to take the money, so he asked the teller, "How do I get the money? What do I have to do?" And he said, "All you need is to write a check." Sam had never written a check before. He didn't even know what a check is. So the teller had to offer to write the check for him. Tom can't sign his name, but he just put his thumbprint beside the check. You know how much he asked for? 50 cents. Or he needed that to buy food. He didn't even know that he could even get $5,000. So he signed a check for 50 cents, and then he used it to buy the food. But the woman said, "No, Sam, you can withdraw more than that. The money is 5,000 cedis. Even now that you have withdrawn, you have 4,900 and something there." So because Sam had lived so many years in deprivation, he couldn't just comprehend the whole thing. The whole thing looked strange to him. So he insisted that the woman should give him the 50 cents. So then he wrote the check for 50 cents and then he took it. So the 4,999.50 was in the bank, untouched and unused. And that is how some of us are. You see, who in the name of Christ are living in spiritual poverty, when God's riches in glory are ours for claiming. God doesn't need all what we have on this earth. He doesn't need it. They are all for us. But because of depravity, we can't lay claims to them. But if we can only meet his conditions, all this, all the wealth in this world has for us. And God has promised that he will give it to us. So what are you waiting for? There are two aspects. If you are here and you are not saved, you have to repent and be saved so that you be in the criteria. If you are saved, it is there for your taking. Believe in him, go to him, and he will give you. My prayer is that from this time we should know who we are as Christians and as saved people, that our God, the creator of heaven and earth, has in store so much for us that we should just ask him, we should seek him, and we will have it. Let's read once again as we come to the end, Philippians chapter 4 verse 19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. Now let's turn to our final hymn, hymn number 509. "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent way." Hymn number 509.
Amen.
may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.